The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend John Davidson on the other side of the glass, John engineering and producing our show, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on Tuesday, October the 10th, 2017, coming to you from Tucson's Voice. We are at AM 1030 KVOI. We've got our worldwide live listening. Really, anywhere in the world, if you're around a computer, go to my website, buckmastershow.com or kvoi.com. And, of course, all of our programs, we have the podcast available, usually within 90 minutes of the conclusion of the program. And we've got all of those shows archived for you at buckmastershow.com. Today, we resume our interview series presented by Pima Community College. Today, we welcome Lee Lambert, Chancellor of Pima Community College. Chancellor Lambert was recently named the National CEO of the Year by the Association of Community College Trustees. Chancellor Lambert joins us now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Chancellor, how are you?
I'm fine, Bill, and how are you doing?
Doing very well. Thank you for asking. Congratulations on this award. It's a big deal, and I know you're very proud of it.
Yes, I am, and thank you for that. But also, as I say to folks, it really underscores the great changes that have happened here at Pima Community College, thanks to our governing board, our faculty, our staff, our students, and the community. So I'm just honored that I get to be in service to everybody and to be recognized for the great work that has happened since I've been here over the last 4+ years.
Do you think this honor recognizes certainly that very hard work that you and your leadership team have put in that successful effort to get the sanctions against PCC lifted by the Higher Learning Commission? That happened, those sanctions lifted in mid-March.
I think it's tied in part to that, but also the other element of that is reconnecting the college to the community and getting the community more involved in understanding what happens at the college, starting to meet the needs of business and industry, strengthening partnerships with the universities, with the K-12s. So I think it represents all of those facets, and obviously the accreditation being the biggest of all of that, but certainly not exclusive to that.
How would you characterize, Chancellor Lambert, your management style, and how has that contributed to Pima's successful turnaround?
Well, you know, when you start talking about management and leadership, and, you know, people talk and write about the different styles that are there, and for me, I would say my style is not tied to any one particular approach as much as being able to style flex depending on what's needed in a given point in time or under a given set of circumstances. And so Ronald Heifetz writes about adaptive leadership. And I would say that's kind of my approach, is more being able to adapt to what is needed at any given moment in time. But certainly I think underlying that, you know, I'm very approachable. I like to listen, understand what the challenges are, what the problems are, so that we can come to better solutions. So I think, again, I wouldn't put one particular label on there, but recognizing that you're drawing upon different styles depending on what's needed so that I can be the most effective for this college and for this community.
Enrollment declines are being seen at community colleges, Chancellor Lambert, as you know, nationwide, and certainly Pima has not been immune to that. How do you plan to balance declining enrollment and in fact, fewer dollars that come with that, but still maintain a quality educational experience?
Well, I think, you know, a big part of that is always remembering why we're here. We're here for our students and for our community in service to this diverse region that we are located in. So it's always remembering what your North Star is. So then when you start making decisions, whether in this case having to adjust on the expense side or looking to plan for the future so you can add the right types of capacity, that you're always guided by the North Star. So in our instance, in terms of enrollment, I think it's a multiplicity of things that we have to do. First and foremost is understanding that the need for education has changed dramatically over the last few decades, with advances in technology playing a big part of that redefinition, that we have to adapt to that new reality. And so we need to be relevant. So are we offering the relevant types of courses and programming that students want to come and be a part of? So an example of that is if you look in the world of information technology, the whole shift to cybersecurity. There's a whole need now to train a whole new cadre of folks around cybersecurity. Well, we're not built for that. So we are now in the process of trying to add that. And as we do that, then that's going to be attractive for students today and tomorrow. So I think it's us understanding that we have to adapt to attract today's student and the future student. Also, strengthening our online, taking advantage of open educational resources so we lower the cost of textbooks for students. So again, it's a number of factors that drive what the enrollment's going to look like going forward.
How do you see the footprint of Pima Community College with your number of campuses? Are you pleased with where you are right now? Kind of give us the big picture, if you would.
Right. So thinking about the size of this community, and then having to rethink the fact that we have six campuses, we have eight other locations, is that the right strategy overlaid with the way the technology is driving so much of what's happening today? So what I mean by that is, so even though our enrollment has dropped, about the current enrollment today, almost 20% of it is fully online. So if you go back to the turn of the century, where Pima, I believe, had five campuses, now we have six. And then on top of that, 20% of our enrollment is online. We didn't have online back then. So that, by its very nature, is forcing us to rethink the whole model that we have in place now. And so, but it does not necessarily mean that you start to look at things like closing campuses. It may mean that you start to look for partnerships where the partners come in and be part of what we're offering to the community. So at one of our locations, maybe it's fully about a partnership with another college or university, or a partnership with the JTEDs, or partnerships with the high schools, or with certain employers. And so you may not necessarily step away from six locations or six campuses, but how they are filled up and what's being delivered might change.
The whole brick and mortar concept certainly is changing, isn't it? You think of,
look
what Amazon has done to the traditional shopping center. I mean, we have a revolution going on here. And as you're saying now, 20% of your students are now, are interacting through online. It's amazing.
It is amazing. But as you know, I'm glad you brought up Amazon. Mm-hmm. Now think of what Amazon's doing, right? They are also looking at having a physical presence.
Right.
A brick-and-mortar location. I was recently in Seattle, Washington. I was at the Bellevue Mall because I had to pick up something, a gift for somebody. And Amazon has their Amazon bookstore right there in the Bellevue Square Mall.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting times now that we're living. But the key, and I want the public to know, is Pima is adapting to this changing landscape. And we don't know what it's going to look like 5, 10, 15 years from now, but one thing you can count on as long as I'm your chancellor is we're going to be engaging and making sure that we adapt as the times change and that the community's got to be a key part of us being able to make sure that we continue to be relevant and viable into the future.
Yeah, I had heard that Amazon was going to start to have presence in some shopping centers. I didn't realize it's already going on in their hometown there in Seattle.
Absolutely.
So tomorrow we have the president of the University of Arizona, Dr. Robbins, will be joining us again. How has your relationship with Dr. Robbins been so far?
So far it's been very positive. As you're probably aware, I was on the search committee that ultimately led to Dr. Robbins coming to the University of Arizona. From the very first moment of meeting him through that process till now, it's been very engaging. He's very approachable. He understands and believes in the community college concept and the relationship between and among the community college and with the university. So we're already starting to see some good discussions and collaborations unfolding between our two fine institutions.
So the collaboration between the University of Arizona, you see that even getting stronger.
Absolutely. And, you know, it was strong to begin with. We're talking about now strengthening it and, again, keeping in mind what is needed for this local community. So whether we're talking cybersecurity, whether we're talking shared spaces in some cases, shared programming, us at the lower division, them at the upper division, how we might do things more together to strengthen the overall pipeline of students, as well as, at the end of the day, meeting the workforce needs of this great community that we're located in.
All right, I've only got less than a minute, so overall, what would you say your biggest challenge and what is your mission goal here for the new school year?
So it's continuing to press forward with the change initiatives that we have in place. And so as we do that, one example of that is we're starting the process of building centers of excellence. Our first center will be a center of excellence for applied technology, and we've already held a summit with the business community and other members of the community. So our challenge is to make sure we can deliver on that new direction that we're moving forward in that is highly supported by our governing board as well as many members of the college and the community.
All right, Chancellor Lee Lambert, thank you very much. Again, congratulations on your top CEO award, and appreciate the time. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill, and have a great day.
Thank you very much. Lee Lambert, the Chancellor at Pima Community College. To learn more about Pima Community College, please visit pima.edu. Coming up next here on The Buckmaster Show, Shelley Fishman is with me in studio, certified financial planner, and Shelley is giving me right now a big thumbs up, and that means good news on the market. We'll be right back.
What is Zauschneria? Come find out at Tona Chule's Fall Plant Sale. Tona Chule's Fall Plant Sale will have an extensive offering of both the typical and the unusual, from native, cold, hardy, and adopted plants from agaves to Zauschneria. Make plans to attend Saturday, October the 14th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday the 15th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The plant sale is located in the propagation area at 7211 Northern Avenue, the first street west of Ina and Oracle intersection. For more information, visit tonachule.org.
The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improved mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And we are delighted to consult every week at this time, right about 12:20, with Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner. And it's our honor to have Shelley on the program because he always gives us such good information. And he also gives us very encouraging information, like a good day on the market.
Yeah, Bill, I think the
nice
Tuesday,
to see you, by the way.
The Tuesday curse is officially over.
I think it is.
Yeah, we've had several good weeks, and Tuesdays.
There's
have been
no wood
exception.
Here to knock on, but I'll
well,
knock on
my head.
Iron. Yeah. You know, we talked a lot about tax reform on our Monday political face-off yesterday, and I think there's some real doubts, Shelley Fishman, about whether this thing's going to get done.
Okay, so let me try not to make this political, because
please
I
don't.
Know that on your Monday face-off,
yes,
it's all about politics.
Right, right.
But there is serious discussion around what the effects of tax cuts are, and who is the beneficiary of those tax cuts when they come along. Several months ago, Dr. Arthur Laffer, who is really the guru of supply side, if you cut taxes, you will increase tax revenues, which, of course, George H.W. Bush, that's voodoo economics. But what he was talking about back then was that if you're going to cut taxes down at the top from 70% or somewhere around 70% down to the low 40s, that's such a huge difference that it almost always will result in reinvestment of that money for those people for whom you have cut those taxes. And to a certain extent, that worked in the 80s. However, when we cut taxes in the 80s, we found out that it didn't work quite according to the curve, and by the time 1984, 1985, 1986 rolled around, the president, President Reagan, was forced to reintroduce some of those taxes because what was happening was the deficits were going up. And so the way he stimulated the economy during that period of time was through two things, military spending and road building. So infrastructure and investing in the military, typical Keynesian kind of things to do. And in the last half of the Reagan administration, the economy did pretty well. Though I should say statistically, GDP growth in the 80s did not equal GDP growth in the 70s when we knew we were in trouble.
Yeah.
So it's weird.
You say the 70s and one image comes to mind.
Inflation.
Long gas lines.
Yeah, yeah. So it's interesting.
Rationing.
Last week, Bruce Bartlett, who was the he was in the Reagan administration. He also worked on the tax cuts that were eventually the ones that Reagan adopted. He was on Jack Kemp's staff. Bartlett wrote an article in the Washington Post basically saying, hey, listen, I helped create the GOP tax myth. Trump's wrong. Tax cuts don't equal growth. And this is Bruce Bartlett, and he's echoing what David Stockman was saying a couple of, well, about a month ago.
That's a name from the past.
David Stockman was the budget director for Reagan.
Right.
So these Republican and, you know, fairly right-of-center economists who lived through it and, in a sense, kind of developed and invented it are saying, wait a second. It is just not true that cutting taxes, especially if those taxes are going to the highest earners, is going to result in higher GDP growth. Now, what does it mean for investors? Well, one of the tax cuts that's being proposed right now is a tax is a cut in the corporate tax. Now, this could be very important for some segment of corporate taxpayers who could benefit from this because they're in the on the smaller end of businesses. They don't have large staffs of accountants. They're not taking advantage of a lot of tax breaks. And they're actually paying today's 35% rate or close to it at the margins.
And we keep hearing that that is one of the highest corporate rates in the world.
And it absolutely is if anybody paid it. The fact is almost nobody does.
Because of
breaks and deductions and all of that. The effective, anytime you use a statistic, you get a little bit crazy about where the statistic came from. But I read a statistic just day before yesterday that the effective tax rate for businesses overall in the U.S. is around 19.5%. Well, gosh, that's lower than the 20% that's being talked about. You know, large corporations like ExxonMobil or GE or whatever pay hardly any tax. So you wonder who's going to benefit. But if the so-called engines of the economy, the emerging successful, in other words, new companies that have gotten over the first couple of years of, where 80% of those companies just die, if you can give them some tax relief, then they can pour that money back into their businesses. They have no stockholders to give it to because they're not public yet. And so there would be some benefit there. Plus, if you could clean up some of the deductions and some of the tax loopholes, then you might even raise some revenue from a more enforceable lower tax rate. And in that case, an Arthur Laffer, our famous Laffer curve guy, said if you do all of those things, you could actually maybe get $1 trillion, $1.5 trillion back into the economy. Now, I think he's exaggerating, and Bruce Bartlett thinks he's exaggerating as well. But there will be some positive effect.
Let me ask you something, Shelley. This market has been so immune to bad news. I mean, it's been really on a tear.
We haven't had any real bad news.
Well, how much of this is, and we've talked a little bit about this in the past, kind of this feel-good market, mm-hmm. How much of this is built in assuming there's going to be some tax relief?
Well, it's the betting on the come. I mean,
yes.
It's the tax relief and the infrastructure. Now, all of a sudden, you're not hearing so much about infrastructure because the politics around that is fairly brutal. And now we're hearing some doubts about tax relief. But you have to put this market into perspective. And let's leave off the 2 months after the election in 2016.
So that would be starting from the calendar year, right?
Okay. Right. So if you just do year-to-date, and now it's toward the end of the year, so mm-hmm. it makes some sense to talk about mm-hmm. year-to-date, we're up about 13.5%, depending upon which index you take a look at. Well, that's a little bit above average, but just a little bit above average, mm-hmm. where the markets have risen over the past 40 or 50 years. So has this been a good year? Yep. Did it start from a very good end of last year? You bet it did. Mm-hmm. So the feeling is that this market's on a tear that nobody can really explain. But the fact is the economy is just continuing to roll along as it has in the past 8 years. We're not seeing any peaks. We saw last quarter was revised up a little bit, but it's still, just in the 2% range. We had a bad unemployment report for last month, mm-hmm. but that was resulting mostly from the damage done by the hurricanes.
Texas and Florida. Yes.
What we saw, interestingly, was somewhat of a peak in wage increases during that month, up from 2.5 to about 2.9%. But when you realize that the jobs that were lost to the hurricanes were the low-end service sector jobs, that can account for a lot of that peak. So what we saw last month was an anomaly. What we'll see when we straighten out those lines and average them over the year is the economy is growing at around 2.2%. Unemployment is around 4.2, 4.3%. Wage growth is moderately mediocre at around 2.4, 2.5%. And that's a healthy economy. It is not a booming economy. And so I would offer that in a case like that, if we were growing the stock market at around the average level with an average economy, that makes sense. Now, if you've stuck with it and you haven't listened to the gloom and doom people who say, this president is going to wreck the economy and very bad things are going to happen. They might, but they haven't happened yet. And so if you stick with that and you've ridden this along with your advisor, who's probably told you not to panic, take it slow, put a little money on the side, then you've done very, very nicely this year. And, I always say when things are good, you should enjoy them.
All right. And we will enjoy them. We'll enjoy the moment. Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner. Thank you, Shelley. And I want to direct everybody to my website, buckmastershow.com, for more information about Shelley. There's a direct link to Shell, and he returns his phone calls in a very timely manner. Thank you, sir.
Have a great week.
You too.
Opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday on the Buckmaster Show, a newsmaker interview with University of Arizona President Dr. Robert Robbins, plus a conversation with two Tucson City Council candidates. Paul Durham will be here, the Democrat, and the Independent Gary Watson. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. To the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by my favorite place for all things green, Green Things, located on 13 acres just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's a beautiful location at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk, and they're on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Everything you need for your garden, they've got, you name it, 33 greenhouses full of some of the most beautiful plants, and they've got lovely pottery. Just a great place for all your gardening needs. Additional support comes from our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, which makes a great weekend getaway. Or why not spend a few extra days? Make it a long weekend. 3 hours east of Tucson to historic Silver City. Just hang out in a lovely environment or do some hiking, camping. Just a great place to go. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and the many things, recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Sedona Arbella Miller Schnebley followed her husband west when their small Missouri town condemned his Presbyterian religion. And arriving in Arizona Territory in 1901, they planted orchards and hosted early tourists in what is now become the community of Sedona. Of course, the beautiful Red Rock country attracts visitors from all over the world. Everybody wants to see Sedona in northern Arizona. Writer Lisa Schnebley Heidinger's new book, The Journal of Sedona Schnebley, is getting wonderful reviews. With 30 photographs from the family collection, The Journal of Sedona Schnebley is certainly a tour de force. The book is Lisa's 10th about various aspects of Arizona. Voted One Book AZ author for her AZ Centennial book, she shares Sedona and T.C. Schnebley's deep love of the Grand Canyon State and of travel. Lisa joins us now from the Grand Canyon. How are you, Lisa?
Wonderful, Bill. How about you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. What did you learn about your great-grandmother growing up? And as you got into research for this journal, were there some, perhaps, some perceptions that changed?
Absolutely. I had always known she was very shy and very reserved and, you know, that she didn't love all of the hospitality duties and things like that. But I learned she had a lot more spirit than I had realized, and also a lot more advantages. She had spoken four languages.
Wow.
And was deeply read and loved the arts and symphonies and culture. And then to come out west to where only four other families lived in the entire Oak Creek area, no doctor, no gas lights, no stores, no nothing, was an even bigger shock than I would have thought growing up. And my favorite fact that I unearthed only days before I turned in this manuscript, because I had never been able to find out which side of the Civil War either her family, growing up as a Miller, or the Schnebleys were on, I found out at the last minute that they were both on the Union side. And my dad, Larry, and I were in the library and archives looking at the Schnibble collection at NAU, and there was a piece written by my grandpa, son, that said, "My father, T.C., was largely reared by a freed slave because the Schnibbles freed their slaves and gave them land." And I was excited as if I had unearthed the Rosetta Stone. It was just, you know how it is. If you're a journalist and your job and your life and your passion is to learn new facts and find things, a discovery just ignites you. And so that was the final discovery that went in before I sent in the manuscript.
And that's what excites me about coming to work every day, because I learn something every day by talking to people
exactly.
like you.
Exactly.
That's why I do.
Yes.
That's why I do what I do. So the way Sedona has certainly grown, and I wonder if your great grandmother may have been attracted to just the beauty of the place. Do you think that's why they settled there?
It was certainly part of it. His brother was a kind of a rambler and a traveler, and he had written T.C. saying, "You've got to see this. You've got to come here. Things grow with no effort. It's beautiful." So part of it was he was the wrong religion for Missouri, and they came out, and they were very, very pleased with the growth. But I don't think anyone could live there and not be moved by the beauty. And in the book, when they were older, and in the 50s, when it was getting a lot of attention from, you know, movies and tourists and wealthy folk, she kind of says, you know, they get really carried away with how beautiful it is, and some people say the rocks have powers, and I don't hold with that. Rocks don't have powers. God has power. Mm-hmm. But there's something about this area that intensifies any emotion. And I just don't think anyone could live there and not feel something a little bit bigger than being in God Love It. I'm sure it's a wonderful place, Ajo, Arizona, or wherever. I mean, it's a different kind of beauty. And so, yeah.
Is this the book, and this being your 10th, as I mentioned, is this the book you really always wanted to do?
Exactly. And for years, I knew I wasn't ready because I didn't want to write just up to the point she turned 22, and I knew I didn't have the life experience to tell the whole story. But when our daughter, Sedona, turned 25, and I realized how much like my great-grandma she was, and that reserved exterior hid a vibrant, raging interior. And then when I was married 25 years and my kids were grown, I thought, okay, now I can speak to every age from 13 on. And so then it was time to write. And I had maybe 30,000 done over the previous 30 years. And then the last 75,000 just poured out in about 8 months. And the nice thing, Bill, is I'm in a book group, and for some reason, Jane Austen and Isabel Allende completely escape me, and I know they are revered writers, so I know you can never know what any reader will like, but every time I read it, I think this is exactly what I wanted this to be. So it's thousands of small and large facts and dates and stories and things gathered from family and friends and archives and magazines over decades. And now they're all in one little place, and they will never go away as long as there is a paper book in the world. And that's a good feeling.
It is. Certainly the Schnibbles, a pioneer family there in Sedona. Are there other families that have been around a long time that you folks connect to?
Absolutely. Well, Schnibbles don't connect in a related way, but the Schuermans, Armijos, Chavez's, Purdymans were all there before the Schnibbles. And J.J. Thompson was the first settler in the area, and he left Ireland as a 14-year-old boy and stowed away on a ship and got to Oak Creek before any other Anglos. I think the early families must have had to pull together to make anything happen. And the Armijos, I guess, would have been the oldest because they were, I believe, pre-land grant. I mean, they were up here before it was even, you know, the United States. And, of course, you and I both know that it doesn't make me special that I'm related to them. It just makes me lucky.
Yeah, there you go. It's a good way.
It is fun.
Good
it
way to put it.
Fun.
What would you like the reader to take away from the book, The Journal of Sedona Schnibble?
Oh, what an interesting question. I think that anybody lucky enough to write had better give the reader something he or she can use.
Right.
And so when it made sense, I would put in anything I've ever learned in 60 years of walking the planet that might be of use to somebody. And if they remember or pull out or are consoled by or are encouraged by, even one of those, I will feel like it was the right thing.
Where can our listeners get a hold of the book, and do you plan any signings in Southern Arizona?
I just did one last Sunday,
mm-hmm.
But I'm hoping to come back. I know I have one in Bisbee in December. And the website, SedonaSchnobley.com, has whatever is going to be happening, fortunately. So it's an easy one to remember. SedonaSchnobley.com will have them all. The book is on Amazon. I don't think it's in any Tucson stores yet, but you and I both know if anybody asks for one, they might be more inclined to get it.
Mm-hmm, that's for sure.
And in the meantime, Amazon, and I'm almost done with the audiobook, which has been interesting, too. So, it's pretty exciting because this is the one I have meant to write since I was a little kid.
I had a feeling about that. Lisa Schnebley-Heidinger, the book, The Journal of Sedona Schnebley. Thank you so much, Lisa. It's always a pleasure to have you on my radio show.
I love being there.
Thank you. Lisa Schnebley-Heidinger, the author of The Journal of Sedona Schnebley. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show with our Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report. Margaret Regan, longtime writer from the Tucson Weekly, will be our host this week. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. It is the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI with worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. This week's arts report on the Buckmaster Show, sponsored by the Fox Tucson Theater. Fox is really the crown jewel of downtown. What an exciting lineup of world-class entertainment in the month of October. Visit foxtucson.com to view the full list of shows, which includes Sean Colvin and her band in a few small repairs 20th century tour. That's October 16th. Sean is a three-time Grammy Award winner, celebrated royalty in the new folk movement. October 18th, Home Free is visiting, a five-piece band known for their show-stopping all-vocal performances. And so lots of things happening at the Fox. For more information and to purchase tickets to see Sean Colvin and her band in the A Few Small Repairs 20th Century Tour, which, by the way, will feature special guests Larry Campbell and Teresa Williams. And that show's October 16th, and then Home Free, October 18th. Visit foxtucson.com. Let's welcome on the live line Margaret Regan. Margaret started writing about the arts in the Tucson Weekly back in 1990. She's won many journalism awards for her arts criticism, her border reporting, her stories on the Irish immigrant experience. She's the author of two prize-winning books on immigration. The most recent is titled Detained and Deported, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire. Margaret, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing real fine. Thanks for asking. Your piece, actually cover story, Tucson Weekly, the current cover story, Mid-Century Madness, talking about Modernism Week, which is now underway. There are so many elements associated with this. How do we define modernism?
How do we define modernism?
Yeah.
Well, no, that's a big question, Bill, right off the top.
Big question.
Philosophical issue.
Big question, and give me a short answer.
Okay, well, modernism in Tucson?
Yep.
Which is what we're looking at today, you know, architecture in Tucson that's modernist. It's interesting. It's often humble materials like cinder block and plain wood. So it's honest. You know, the idea is you're not making a fake Spanish-looking house. You're using modern materials to create probably a more geometric design. Tucson modernism tends to be very aware of the climate, and people, you know, design things particularly so that, you know, we could deal with the extreme heat. The house that, or the building that I wrote about in my story, sort of representative, is the Barbara Mettler Dance Studio on Fort Lowell. And a lot of Tucson modernism, too, has a kind of a fun thing to it. They call it googie architecture, where it looks sort of like a spaceship. And this dance studio is in the round, and I thought that the green roof, when I went over to see it, you know, green metal roof, looked a little bit like a spaceship landing. So,
it does. Yeah, it really does.
Yeah, there's a fun element to it. And then, you know, kind of serious climate adaptation issues. And then, you know, the sort of the plainness, getting away from decorative things that are supposed to look like another era. So, I wrote about this design studio, the dance studio. Have you ever been there, Bill?
I drive by there a lot, and I've wondered about it. And I guess it was created and built, what, 1963?
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I had heard about it for years. As you know, I write about dance. But
right. It's
kind of a quiet operation now. Barbara Mettler died, but she was a really interesting character, kind of a wealthy heiress type who had gone off to Germany to study modern dance in the 1930s. Back in those days, and still actually, right, you know, Germany is a kind of a hotbed of modern dance. So she was over there studying when Hitler rose to power, and of course she came back to the U.S. And she said she really developed her own ideas about dance on her own. Everything is improvisation. And she doesn't believe in mirrors. She doesn't think the dancer should be thinking about he or she looks, but the dancer should be drawing on his or her inner self. She made it out to Tucson when she was about 50 years old. She'd had a whole career of performing and teaching in the East Coast, but, you know, the desert attracted her. So she wanted a very modern studio that sort of coalesced with her modernist ideas. And she found, apparently, the perfect match in an architect named John H. Howe, Howe, H-O-W-E. I hadn't heard of him before, but he was one of the people up with Frank Lloyd Wright at Taliesin West. And apparently these two, you know, architect and choreographer, dancer, had a meeting of the minds, and he was very happy to design something that looked like what I described, you know, round with a spaceship, a spaceship roof. And you go inside there, and the dance studio is this wonderful round space with all these high windows all around, and you can see the Catalinas. So while you're dancing, you're looking up and out at nature instead of looking at yourself in the mirror.
I kind of see whirling Sufi, whatever they are, when they...
I know what you mean.
Yeah, whirling around, looking at the clouds through the beautiful windows. So she died in 2002 at the age of 95, and she bequested the studio and that desert lot that the studio sits on to the Nature Conservancy. Do they have offices there, or do they use that, or what?
Well, it's really interesting. You know, I first became aware of this place when the Nature Conservancy built their place. It was a very large lot, and it must have been in her will, I'm guessing, I don't know for sure, that they had to preserve the studio, because the studio survives and it's still used for dance. The Nature Conservancy built its own building just to the west of the dance studio. And there is a Barbara Mettler Trust that provides some money to keep the dance studio operating. I met a very nice woman over there named Carol Carlo, who is very involved in dancing there. And tomorrow, Bill, you and I can learn how to dance the Barbara Mettler way, if you care to. There's an open studio class tomorrow. You can go in, $10 at 5:30 tomorrow, and you can take an improv class in this beautiful space. So that's part of Modernism Week, that they're inviting people to come in. It's a way to see it, because this building is not on the tour. And then over the weekend, there's going to be a lecture about John H. Howe, the architect who designed it. So I'm just very interested in learning about all that.
So to find out about the tour, just go to the website. Is that because there's a bunch of activities
they have this very big long website. There's activities every single day of the week.
I think if you Google Tucson Modernism Week, that might be the best way, because it's a really long website that they
have. I know, you really have to page through it. But next weekend, the really fun event, people love the Vintage Trailer Show.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be on Broadway near Broadway Village. And then the other one that I always like is on Sunday is the Self-Guided Home Tour. And this year, they're showing homes. What you do, you drive around, they give you a map, and there's a house by Judith Chafee, who, as you probably know, is one of Tucson's greats. Kirby Lockhart, Juan Warner Boz, who designed St. Philip's Plaza, and Benny Gonzalez, who did a lot of work in Scottsdale, but apparently he has some houses here, too. So, yeah, very fun stuff.
All right. I've only got a minute left, and I did want to carve out enough so you could at least promote, speaking of dance, the dance concert by Artifact Dance Project, and you write about this in the weekly that will be coming out in a day or so.
Yeah, right. Artifact Dance Project is a local troupe, very interested in contemporary dance. It's kind of ballet and modern. And they like to do narrative shows. This is an evening length, an hour and a half long dance. And they are very committed always to having live music. So the music for this will be spectacular. The opera singer Corby Myrick, who has performed with them before, she'll be singing. She'll be accompanied by a pianist, her husband, and then a chamber ensemble of instruments, about 12 instrumentalists. And the show is called Judith, and it's about the biblical figure of Judith, who was a Jewish woman in ancient Israel who saved her people by slaying an invading general.
And the venue for this is a really great place. I love the Stevie Yeller Dance Theater on the University campus. Performance is Thursday. Let's see, Thursday, then Sunday?
And then just Sunday, because there's lots of stuff happening on campus.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
one of the downsides of that theater. It serves the university first. So Thursday evening it debuts, and then there are two shows on Sunday, but very worth catching.
All right, Margaret Regan, you've been very busy. We appreciate your support. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bill.
All right. This week's Arts Report on the Buckmaster Show, sponsored by a place that's very busy as well, Fox Tucson Theater. Sean Colvin and her band in the A Few Small Repairs 20th Century Tour on October 16th. Sean is a three-time Grammy Award winner, celebrated royalty in the new folk music. That's on October the 16th. Then on the 24th of October, the Fox welcomes Sarah Jarosz, performing really since her teens. She's released now her fourth album. So this is kind of an Appalachian folk-style band. The Brothers is the name of the group, is going to open up for Sarah. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Check it out. Sean Colvin and her band, October 16th. Home Free on October 18th. Sarah Jarosz, the 24th. And world-renowned psychic and spiritual medium, James Van Praagh. Visit foxtucson.com. The medium, the psychic, October 27th is his performance. That's my performance for today on Buckmaster. Mike Check with Mike Shaw coming up from 4 to 5. Wake up, Tucson. Tomorrow, we got the U of A president on tomorrow, plus a political debate. Busy show tomorrow. Have a great afternoon and evening.